I started asking myself, you know, what does the rest of the world look like? And where do Americans go when they want to leave the United States? And kind of stumbled upon this group of baby boomers who had left the United States to retire in Mexico. And this kind of coincided with me having to make a decision about what my master's thesis was going to be on. And also coincided with politics in the United States, where some people were very frustrated that Mexicans were coming to the United States. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting? I found this group of baby boomers who are really educated and really affluent, and they want nothing to do with the United States. They want to get down to Mexico.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today, the special guest for the show is Travis Luther. And Travis is a Denver, Colorado writer. He's a speaker and an entrepreneur. He received his master's in sociology from the University of Colorado, Denver. He is a former adjunct professor of entrepreneurship at MSU, Denver, and former entrepreneur in residence to the University of Colorado, Denver. Luther first became interested in baby boomers retiring in Mexico during graduate school. His master thesis research contributed to the content of his book, The Fun Side of the Wall. He continues to be interested in US expats retiring all over the world and continues to monitor those who have chosen Mexico. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you for having me.
You don't look old enough to know much about retiring, but anyway, can you give us a bit of a background about yourself and what led you to write this book about retiring down in Mexico?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm an entrepreneur. I own several businesses, and I've been an entrepreneur for about 25 years now. But about 10 years ago, I decided to return to college and finish a bachelor's degree that I had started when I was 18, like everybody else. And I went back to school just to get a business degree, and I ended up taking some sociology classes as part of just my undergrad general requirement. I really fell in love with it, and I switched my major and got a degree in behavioral science. And then when I finished that, I just felt like I wasn't done, and I wanted to continue to study people and groups of people. And so I applied and got accepted to graduate school in Denver. And, you know, while I was there, as part of, you know, what I was doing in business, I had a technology company, and the technology company was growing really quickly, and I was trying to find some people to help me while I was going to graduate school. And I started connecting with entrepreneurs all over the world, you know, South America, Europe, Asia, and just really realized that up until that point, I had not left the United States. I'd never traveled out of the United States. And that maybe I had grown up a little naive. I grew up in a small town in Washington State, the northwest part of the United States here. And so I started asking myself, you know, what does the rest of the world look like? And where do Americans go when they want to leave the United States? And kind of stumbled upon this group of baby boomers who had left the United States to retire in Mexico. And this kind of coincided with me having to make a decision about what my master's thesis was going to be on. And also coincided with politics in the United States, where some people were very frustrated that Mexicans were coming to the United States. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting? I found this group of baby boomers who are really educated and really affluent, and they want nothing to do with the United States. They want to get down to Mexico. So I went down to a couple expat enclaves down in Mexico and interviewed them and completed my thesis on them in 2008. What happened since then is anytime I'd mentioned the topic to people, there was just like a lot of interest. Well, where else are they in Mexico, and how many of them are in Mexico? And I didn't really have answers, but I still kind of felt fascinated by the subject. So a couple of years ago, I decided, well, I could maybe turn this into a, you know, a book, a sociological study on people who retire in Mexico and maybe offer it to a wider audience. So I initiated a whole new round of research. I updated some of the information that was already in my book and started taking more trips down to Mexico and finished that work and published it in December
2019. Wow. Well, that's very thorough what you've produced, and it's fascinating. We need to know more about what your book is about.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, when I was in graduate school, we were just coming into and then going out of the 2007-2008 financial crisis. And so when I found that there were people who, you know, this big group of people who expatriated to Mexico, I, like everyone else, assumed that it was just for finances. You know, I thought, okay, well, these must be people who are struggling with money and they feel like they have no choice but to retire in Mexico. And what I ended up finding was quite different. I found that the people who chose Mexico were actually more educated and more affluent than their U.S. counterparts. Their financial situation was not in dire straits, as most baby boomers in the United States are. And so it was really people who were worried about money rather than people who were really struggling with money that went to Mexico. But more importantly, people who wanted to retire earlier. So the book is really about what were their motivations to leave, what made them find Mexico attractive, and then once they got there, what kept them there.
Mm. It's fascinating because it is an assumption that people go to third world countries for financial reasons, but it sounds like what you've come up with is a whole heap of different reasons. So what actually motivated you to write about retiring in Mexico?
Again, just that kind of interesting conundrum that was in the United States where, you know, immigration into the United States from Mexico was a hot button topic. But here I had found these people who found something in Mexico that they couldn't find in the United States. And I was just so curious about what that is. Because like you said, I think a lot of people consider Mexico a third world country. And when you say third world country, you have to ask, well, who the heck wants to go live there and why? And so that was really my motivation, was wanting to figure that out and realizing through that initial study in 2008 that I also shared those misconceptions about Mexico, that I also had a very narrow mind about the rest of the world, and that I also had a lot of unfounded fears that were really dissolved by going down there and meeting people both, you know, from Mexico and from the United States. In fact, all over the world, there are expats from all over the world there, including Australia.
Mm, really? So what are your most important findings that you came up with? Because it's be really interesting to hear what you came up with it compared to what people think.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I think what people think and what I thought originally too was that the people that would choose to retire in Mexico were people who were low income and needed to find a place where they could afford to retire. And I think the most important discovery is that that was not the case. Like I said, there's approaching, you know, close to a million baby boomers in Mexico, and a majority of those are upper income, college degrees or better, you know, highly educated individuals who worry about money but don't need money and wanted to find a place where they could retire earlier. So that was the big misconception that was wiped away with the book. The second thing is that while they all say that it was money that caused them to start looking at Mexico once they went down there and explored, it's really this sense of authentic community that really kept them there. So they found that the Mexicans themselves and the Mexican communities and this kind of sense of family and tradition were more satisfying to them than what I call the commodified state of retirement in the United States. So as opposed to wanting to be put in very structured retirement communities or very structured Soviet bloc style assisted living facilities, these are people who wanted to remain independent in the retirement, who wanted to go somewhere where they were surrounded by like-minded people, where they felt safe and where they felt a real authentic sense of community. And that's what they found in Mexico that they weren't able to find in the United States.
Well, that's really extremely interesting that they couldn't find a sense of community in their own country. Where were Americans going that they didn't find any community?
I think rather than it being a specific place for a lot of the Mexico boomers, as I refer to them in the book, it's this overarching feeling that the United States in general has lost touch with what it means to have community or what is important in community. The people that I surveyed in Mexico really felt that commercialism and consumerism had really become such a norm in the United States that it was really hard to have relationships with people that didn't involve some kind of monetary exchange or where people didn't feel like they were about to be sold something. So I think it's more of a culture in the United States that dissuades people from feeling like they can have authentic community, at least from the people who I interviewed in this book. Yeah. You know, and the second thing is also that part of that culture is this the sense of ageism in which, you know, they're shut out of being able to work or take on meaningful employment, or this false sense that as people get older, they get more tired and less willing to work. And just like a lot of trappings of that we have about retired people, you know, furthermore, that magazines and TV shows and social media was not geared to them. They just felt it was really hard to connect with anything that was important to them within the culture of the United States.
Yeah, it's just so sad to think that once you're past your working use by date, so to speak, that you're not valued anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. And, you know, there are challenges for people moving to Mexico if they want to work or if they need to continue to work. But, and, you know, that's just related to some residency stuff. It's nothing that can't be overcome. But what you find in the retired community is that they are continuing to work more on social justice issues, on issues of the environment. So it's not like they're going down there and just hanging out by themselves. You know, they're cleaning up lakes, you know, they're working in orphanages, there's organizations there that welcome and educate both in English and Spanish new people who have come down. So they're finding meaningful ways to participate in their community. And I think what they love about it is that they're directing them. They're able to take things that are important to them and get to work on them without having that dictated to them by retirement communities or by society in general.
From your findings, what do you consider the most surprising aspects of what you've discovered?
I think the most surprising thing that I've found is how vibrant the singles scene down there is among retired baby boomers. I can say that I did not expect this at all. This didn't even come out of my initial thesis project in 2008, but the amount of single women who move to Mexico independently far outpaces the amount of single men. So, you know, men are most likely to show up there married, but women are twice as likely to show up there single. And there's a real culture of grit and adventure among these single baby boomer women. You know, a lot of them that I talked to, well, what I'll say is when I did my original study in 2008, more often than not, people who ended up in Mexico did so because they knew somebody who had already went there, whether a family member or a friend. As time has gone on and we've come into, you know, 2020, a lot more of these women have ended up there simply because they've been able to research on their own through the internet and make connections through the internet and feel safe enough and informed enough to just go ahead and make that move without knowing anybody in Mexico. And I just thought that was just fascinating and a real testament to, like I said, the grit of these baby boomer women and their, you know, their want, desire for adventure and autonomy. I just thought it was awesome.
That's fun. That's a fun thing to know. Yes, we are not afraid anymore, I suppose. Yes, we're not completely different era. You know, things have moved on and we're not bounded by needing to have a spouse, I suppose. Yes. Liberated.
Absolutely.
Have you, in your research, have you done any comparisons about why Mexico is showing up as a country of choice compared to other possible countries to go to retire to?
I would say that it's of all the expat retirement spots, Mexico is by far number one. Some other countries in Central America would be close seconds if you combine them. So like Costa Rica and Panama. And then it's really very few who who retire outside of that, whether it's South America or Europe. My conclusion is that Mexico is attractive, one, simply because of its proximity to the United States. Two, the cost of living there is 200 times less expensive than what it costs in the United States. And three, it is pretty easy, all things considered, to get down there, get residency, and then be able to enroll and participate in some of their, you know, what we call universal healthcare programs. Which is not as easy, you know, if going to other countries. So once you establish some residency there, a lot of the baby boomers I interviewed reported their co-pays, their full cost of care being less expensive for treatments than just even some of their co-pays. So, you know, proximity to the U.S., the value of the dollar against the peso, and the ease and affordability of medical care.
So that still is a big item in our retirement, the cost of medical care. So before we finish up, what recommendations do you have for someone planning to retire in Mexico?
You know, one, I would say try and take a trip, obviously, if you can. You know, Mexico, just like any other country, you know, certainly the United States or Australia, it's a big country, and it's got a lot of different geographic regions and a lot of different things to love and not love. And so, you know, I think at least in the American mind, we think about Mexico as kind of a beachy resort type area, and the beaches and the resorts are where most of us go when we go to Mexico. But there's all these beautiful inland colonial villages. And so I think you need to know, you know, what am I looking for as far as geography goes? You know, can I tolerate a place that's hot and humid most times of the year like Florida, or do I need a cool or mountain town like Denver? And then ask yourself, what can you afford, and look at those different towns? Because I think you'll find on the coastline, you know, some of those villages and cities are about, you know, comparable to places in the U.S. So if your goal is really to try and reduce your cost of living, you'll want to move inland. And the other thing is, if you're trying to be part of the Mexican culture as well, and to, you know, to learn Spanish and to learn about the history and celebrate the holidays like everyone else, it doesn't really do you any good to go to a place where it's basically a bunch of expats, and the whole place is built for expats, because you're not going to get a very authentic Mexican experience. So I would say the more interested you are in more of that authentic community that we talked about earlier in the podcast, you know, the more you want to go in and explore some of the smaller towns and villages, because they're just as great, and they have just as many things to celebrate as the beach communities.
I'll have another question. Are they buying or are they renting?
So buying is not a problem. You can come down and buy property. The one caveat is any property that you buy within 50 miles of the coastline has a couple additional hurdles that you have to go through, but it's not impossible to. What I've learned is that with the explosion of Mexico and the popularity of Mexico, a lot of folks have turned their long-term rentals into Airbnbs, and they serve a lot of the vacation community. And so if you're going down there looking for a long-term rental, it's harder to do that in the more popular, like tourist spots, if you will. Huh. Like, again, as you move inland, the properties become less expensive and easier to acquire. And I would say it's kind of split between the people who buy and the people who rent. But both options are definitely available. And again, the cost to buy a home is much lower. But one of the challenges to buying a home in Mexico, if you're a foreigner, is it's nearly impossible to get a mortgage. And so if you do come down, you have to be prepared to make a cash offer or pay cash or have some kind of financing outside of the country. Once you're in the country, just like if someone were to come to, you know, Australia or the United States, you certainly can spend 5 or 7 years building up a credit profile and a relationship with a bank, and maybe at that point getting a mortgage. But I think if you're 55 or 65 and looking for a place to retire, it may be better just to find a rental.
Thanks very much for sharing your expert knowledge about retiring in Mexico, the fun side of the wall. So where would people go to find out more about you or the book?
You could go to my website, which is just travisluther.com, L-U-T-H-E-R. You can also search Travis Luther on Amazon, or search The Fun Side of the Wall on Amazon, and the book will be available there as well.
Okay. And have you got plans for retiring in Mexico?
I have plans to get back there just as soon as they open it back up. You know, I still make a couple trips down there a year. I love Mexico and I'm anxious that I can't go. So.
Okay. So we're all doing the social isolation thing at the moment.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, thanks very much. It's been really fascinating to hear your ideas about retiring in Mexico and the reasons why people are preferring to go away from their home countries. It's very, very interesting and fascinating. So thanks very much for sharing your research today.
You bet. Thanks so much, Anne. Take care.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.